Greetings. Hello. Aloha. This is episode 1 of 2020, Be Prepared for Coronavirus by Dr. Kevin Branham and his brothers, Practical Solutions in an Upside Down World. I have a big request to start this podcast, and be patient with me as I'm a little bit of a beginner in some of this as well. I've had about 4 decades of hands-on experience as well as group experience at large in my profession, in my career, in many ways. I'm asking every one of you, if you can, to please get a piece of paper or something to take notes as you go along that will stand out for you, that will be something you just don't want to forget, or to remember even my email address, which is all lowercase, Dr. Kevin spelled out, the number 4, the word life, @gmail.com. Again, Dr. Kevin for life @gmail.com. The overall question that I'm putting out there, and almost every one of us has too, is what's the whole story? What's the scoop about this whole coronavirus thing that the whole world seems to be kind of plunged into in the last few weeks? And the purpose of these episodes is going to be to continue to help us to understand some of the real, real important, essential principles, facts, and the things that we can take into our lives to better help us to form a wonderful future behavior for ourselves and others, and to have optimism and not pessimism or overwhelmed feelings from all of this. The coronaviruses were named and discovered first in the 1960s, following the original invention of the scanning electron microscopes, which could look teeny, teeny, tiny, small things and finally see them, which were not possible under the conventional microscopes. This one that we are having all this to-do and buzz about over the whole world is the 7th one that has been discovered since then. And it is named SARS-CoV-2 about a month and a half ago. The actual disease that is the result of this is called the coronavirus disease, or COV-19. And that's because it began in 2019. That's what the 19 is for, or the so-called outbreak. The real information we need to appreciate, though, is that these viruses have been around, or mutations that they came from have been around for a long, long, long time, always existed. But they have only been something that have been discovered and researched in detail in the last 50 years. The primary method of body entry that the world is focusing on is that they believe it is mainly from contact with a contaminated person and to a lesser degree contaminated surfaces or objects. And then the overwhelming big one is the contamination directly by the air passageways from one person into the air passageways of another person. That's what we call droplets or aerosol. And the research that we go back into the previous 6 coronaviruses before this one don't show that that is the whole story. They show rather that it is possible in some of the SARS-1 research that these virus particles are able to stay alive anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks outside of the human body. I've read that research with my own eyes. And besides that, it's able to be viable or somehow keep on hibernating for a period of time on a non-living surface, such as metal or plastic or walls or just about everything around us. And so for us, we need to kind of keep this all in perspective. So the first thing is that there is going to be, by human existence, contact with each other and with ourselves. And when we think about how many times a day that takes place with our own body, like how many times my right hand touches my face or some other part of my body or touches my clothing or cell phone, or if I'm right-handed, a pen, pencil, grabbing objects with my left hand, or writing with my left hand even, or answering the phone with either hand, pushing buttons. All these contacts back and forth add up to 2,000 to 3,000 times per day. And so when you think about how much that is, it is literally impossible to disinfect every time a person moves their hands away from and towards their face. It's impossible. So the next best thing that we are being told, of course, is to try to do a very thorough cleaning or hand washing several times a day. And so one of the ways that we can do that is to think about, it's more important to get a couple of deep cleanings that includes the fingers and fingernails and so forth, than it is to try to think of how we can possibly be a germophobic person and literally wipe or sanitize every single time that we go between our hands and our face or whatever. And the trick to think about how long to do it when you're washing with some good soap is you sing happy birthday to yourself 2 times all the way through. That's about how long is a good cleaning that will take care of a lot of just the dirtiness or the filthy contamination. It's not just this thing, it's everything, because there are literally billions and trillions of these things around us every day. But somehow we, most of us, have been living and continue to live in the face of all of this. There are global estimates since last year that millions of people around the earth have already been exposed, and yet when we look at all of this, there is almost no indication of people getting much of an illness when they're younger in age, especially children and younger teenagers and even young adults. It seems that where it starts to pick up and get more severe symptoms, kind of like the flu is usually year after year after year, when people have an underlying condition, either that they're born with, such as a weakened immune system, or they have some other secondary disease condition that has come along in their life earlier, or because of a result of some malady or injury or other thing that makes their body not the same as it used to be, and it has reasons to be propped up with prescriptions or extra special care. So all of that is the thing that seems to be standing out in this. And then in addition to this, there's almost no talk about the bad habits that contribute to this. And it has been very obvious that anything to do with the breathing or the respiration in the realm of smoke and vaping inhalation and that kind of thing has a big weakening effect and being susceptible to this new virus as well as many others. So when we think about this in the big picture, it is that we see the schools and colleges and universities and libraries and all these public places being shut down kind of as their first resort to just keep people separate from each other and to not let them interact. And especially the younger population, because they feel like maybe they're not sick or don't have anything, and yet they could be a carrier, as they call it. Well, the overall desire or purpose for most good people is that they are willing to appreciate or understand that when they don't feel well, they take themselves out of the situation by staying home to get well. And that's what we've been doing all of our lives. It's no different with this. It's just that the government has gotten a whole lot more involved than at any other time in the history of the world to be doing this on such a global level, where at different places or locations, the entry points of airports or key cities or towns or villages where people would come to for commerce or for other reasons and then go back to their homes, that all these places are looked at as the hot spots. And so the attempts of all the government decrees or issuing these very, very broad-reaching mementos or proclamations, that's the stuff that we're trying to figure out how to deal with. In most cases, it is that we are expected to believe that when this gets really, really ramped up, that we're supposed to try to stay home and not go to work or anything for a couple of weeks. And so for most people, it means that we need to be thinking about if we are obeying that main restriction that we need to have enough of the basic necessities or needs for ourselves or our household to get through that. In just about every case, however, it seems that as this has gone through that cycle in other cities or countries previous to us, it is something that lingers longer and it hangs on more than just 2 weeks. And so before things are able to be allowed to get back and open up to the public again, it might be as long as a month or even longer. And so that's what we have to be appreciative or sensitive to. When that starts to come into play too, then the business and economic side of everything is what starts to be obvious and putting in our face. And we see then that essential or necessary goods are getting reduced for us, and we have to figure out how we're going to get enough of certain things, or even food and water or other services. Even traveling is completely eliminated, or it is cut way, way back, restricted. And then when we see all this happening, then people start to think about just being able to pay their rent or their mortgage or their car payments, or to pay off their credit cards that they are using to buy a lot of their basic things that they go through every month. And then a final question is, and will I get sick or catch this and have to go to the hospital? And is it, and why is it that older people are weaker, as an example? Well, all of this, as we are contemplating it, begs these questions. How can I strengthen my immune system, my immune resistance? If viruses are everywhere already, how can I better protect myself and those around me? And as I already mentioned, it's the singing happy birthday to yourself two times, several times a day. Another very important thing that helps to see what we can personally do is either to grow or to buy cilantro, which is known as Chinese parsley. And then we add this to meals, to sandwiches, to recipes. And that is because it has been used for a couple thousand years in India and other places in many locations as a thing to sterilize and to make food so that any organisms or bugs that are in it are neutralized and they are not able to harm us anymore. And then likewise, when it gets into our digestive tract, the cilantro works to enhance the growing of the good stuff inside of us and to neutralize or dam up and stop the bad ones. That is another thing that is leads into the next point, is there are certain plants, pigments or products that help greatly to enhance our immune system. And another one in this regard that has been used all over the world for thousands of years is turmeric, or extracts that are from turmeric like curry. And then in addition to that, there are other spices such as cumin or ginger. And then there are plants that have enzymes in abundance, such as papaya and pineapple. All of these things help the improvement of your digestive system function, and therefore has a direct effect on amplifying your body's immunity and to continue to kill bad bugs. And even as a side benefit for a lot of these things, when you use them for a long period of time or your lifestyle, it even helps to police and kill cancer cells in your body. Another main point is that we look at the vegetables that we are trying to get into our body or not trying. And the average American, for example, only consumes about 1 to 2 vegetables a day, if that. And a lot of the people count French fries as one of those. Well, there needs to be a whole lot more refocus and improvement in the vegetables, because the colored portion of these vegetables, the orange, the yellow especially, are called carotenoids, which directly stimulate your body's governor called the thymus gland to stir it up, to wake it up, to help to ramp up and to direct the resistance of your body's immune system, and to be able to recognize the good stuff that comes in and the bad stuff that the body is trying to put its hands up and not let in. A final thing in this realm of what we can do immediately is we can eat a daily handful of berries, whether frozen or dried or fresh. And what berries have is this very deep, rich colors in them that we would call the polyphenols or bioflavonoids, and they all help to burn the oxygen that we breathe better, as well as they have a big effect on making the body extremely sensitive to know what is good and what is bad, as well as other things to make the body much, much stronger. So to work on the wrapping up of this first podcast, and again, I appreciate the listening ears that all of you are showing to me as we launch this, and we want to do this on a daily basis with episodes each day, and hope to see literally thousands, if not millions, of people that are tracking and following along with the wisdom and advice that we feel that we will be able to share to help get all of us who really want to really rise up above all of this and to really, really get through this with flying colors. So this is the self-check checklist about your own vitality and immunity. And there are approximately 12 areas or questions that I am putting out there that you can either make mental notes of with your notepad or piece of paper or journal, or you can receive an email of this whole thing outlined to you at the same email I gave you at the beginning. You can look at the episode notes for that. So number one, you evaluate your health and integrity of your body openings. And you have the ones that are in your upper body, and then you have the ones in your lower body. And you just ask yourself, are there any infections or congestion or itching, or like in the upper body especially, dripping going on with regard to your nose or other symptoms, yes or no? And if yes, how often has it been there, or is it constant right now? And so that's what you would check off as a yes, as a thing that is making your body weak. You cannot police things well when you have something that's ongoing like that. What is your age? Is it under or over age 60? Yes or no? Number two, how many times have you had colds and flu in this past flu and cold season? And if you've had more than one, check it. And then you answer the next question if you've had more than one time. During these episodes of the flu and or the cold this past flu season, then how many would you say more beyond that have you had in the last 5 years? Has it been every year? Has it been a couple of times a year? Has it been 4, 5, 6 times a year? The average American gets anywhere from 3 to 6 cold and flu episodes per year, which shows you that as a society, that means that the whole society is weaker. Number four, for adults, if we compare when we look at ourselves and our health compared to when we were a child, do we have more frequent or less frequent colds and flu? And if you have more, then you put a yes down. If you are having less than when you were a child, that's a plus. That's a thing that means that you've got greater strength in your immune system. Number five, do you smoke or vape? Yes or no? Number six, have you ever had pneumonia? Yes or no? Number seven, asthma? Yes or no? And allergies? Yes or no? Do you take any prescriptions? Yes or no? Because usually when people take prescriptions, there is an underlying condition. That's the reason. And that would mean that in some way, shape, or form, your body has some weakening to it. And then the last is recreational drugs. Yes or no? Again, any of these yeses mean that you are weaker and more susceptible or prone to anything coming along, not just the coronavirus. And number 10, do you weigh 20% or more than your ideal body weight? Yes or no? Think about your ideal weight maybe when you were an older teenager or a young adult, or sometime when you really worked on a fitness program to get in shape and you achieved that, to sort of use that as your gauge from where you should be or could be. And then, are you diabetic? Yes or no? That's number 11. And then number 12, the last one, have you been hospitalized or had any major surgery that required you to be in the hospital overnight for more than one day in the past 5 years? Yes or no? When you go back through these 12 things then and add up what you've got, if you have less than 3, you're in very good shape and you should be able to predict that you can fly through episodes of this kind of viral flu or any of the other ones that are out there. And when you look at having more of those things than three, then you should be either looking to talk with a doctor that you trust or some advisor or counselor to see what you can think of really doing to improve and to amplify what you have at your disposal to be able to be better prepared. This is the conclusion then of the first episode of 2020 Be Prepared for Coronavirus, and I will be looking forward to continuing tomorrow, episode 2, and greatly appreciate all of your interest in this, and please contact me and give me feedback as well, and let other people hear and know about this as well. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Greetings. Welcome. Aloha. Again, this is Dr. Kevin. My email, drkevin4life, that's all lowercase, the number 4, drkevin4life at gmail.com. This is episode 5 of our series with the Brandon Brothers, 2020, Be Prepared for Coronavirus. And episode 5, we have the fatty acids that we reviewed on episode 4 in a little bit greater detail, and how this contributes to our inner body core strength or inner chi, adds to our brain power, and even contributes largely to how our stem cells can come out of hibernation to regenerate different parts of our body in great abundance if we really work at it. And then to even have our cells be able to morph or to change kind of in a magical way so that they become something greater or more superhuman than what they otherwise would because of the lack of these fatty acids in the body. Then we're going to discuss a very exceptional little tool. It does not cost very much, but it is fabulous for being able to monitor any of your concerns if you have asthma or some kind of a chronic lung dysfunction or not enough oxygen getting into your blood all the time. And it can also, of course, be because of anemia as well, which is not enough red blood cells. But this is a tool that is recommended by the World Health Organization to really keep on top of how well we are functioning with our lungs, because with the coronavirus, we see that the most rapid deterioration among the people who are compromised is where it goes right into the lungs especially, and it causes a lot of difficulty with the central lung tissue, and it makes the parts of the lung in there literally begin to break down. And that is when people get into a crisis and they have to have a ventilator and be in an ICU unit and so forth. Let's go back to the fatty acids then. Remember in episode 4 that the fatty acids, and there are many nutrients that most people are very deficient in. But in a really simple way to think about them, try to make an okay sign with your fingers, with your fingers and your thumb. And when you look at an okay sign, it basically forms the number 6 in some way that you look at it. The number 6 is really, really a key thing because vitamin B6 is the most broad, the most widely applicable, widely used or needed substance in the entire body. It's been discovered to be a part of over 200 essential critical functions or purposes in the body in so many ways. One of the main ways is that vitamin B6 takes shorter fatty acids such as what we find in a plant source, such as a 16 or 18 carbon long chain fatty acid, which is abundant in flaxseed and in walnut oil especially, and it makes them get longer to be 22 to 24 carbons long. And when it gets to be 22 in particular, that is the kind of fatty acid that our body needs, that is magic to our brain, to our memory, to our healing power, to our inner core strength and vitality, to our mucous membranes, to the resilience in the central part of our lungs or other organs, and so on. Other different nutrients that we need in greater abundance include those that are almost always deficient in most people, and that is what's called the sulfur amino acids. And the two main names of those are methionine and cysteine. Those are very, very abundant in the vegetables that are kind of strong smelling or pungent is the word for it. And that includes radishes, onions, garlic especially, shallots, chives, all of those things, leeks that are part of what's called the lily family in the plant kingdom. So these sulfur amino acids are something that everybody needs more of. And another key ingredient that makes the body work in a much more tip-top way, especially against the coronavirus to strengthen your immune system, it's the trace element zinc. Zinc is especially abundant in pumpkin seeds, and in general, it's higher content in seeds that are a little bit flatter, such as the sunflower seeds and sesame seeds and flax seeds, and it's higher in seeds in general. Another element that is very rich in seeds is magnesium. Magnesium is used to literally order and to make the brain work as a tip-top functioning tool in our body. And so magnesium deficiency is a big one when you have brain fog or lack of a very good brain mental function all the day long. So let's think about these fatty acids briefly again in remembering what it is that we are wanting to spot check on our body on the outside to see if we really need more of them. Most people do, and I recommend at least something on the order of about 2 tablespoons full of essential fatty acids or oils per day. If one of them is olive oil and another one is something like flaxseed oil or added to smoothies or in some other way added to be mixed into your cereal, for example, or mush, or even in pancake mix or something like that, that's how you can split the two. But you really need the omega-3 from flaxseed or walnut oil every day, as well as some of the really broad and very beneficial oils that come from something like extra virgin olive oil. So when we look at our body, we look quickly to see, are there cracks anywhere? How are the corners of our cuticles, of our fingernails, on all 10 of them? How are our creases behind our knees, in our areas where we have folds of skin, like in the armpits area, or where we have our leg hook onto our trunk, where we have the ears attached to our head, where we have the corners of our eyes and eyelids, all these places, wherever there's a redness, an irritation, a tendency to have an itch that doesn't go away, those are all evidences of the fatty acid deficiencies that we have in our body. Those of you who have had a gallbladder removal or you tend to burp up oil, you will need to have some extra help to get the oil droplets to, in a sense, under a microscope, explode or to blow apart into tinier droplets. And when you're able to do that with a gallbladder bile, for example, and enzymes to get them into smaller droplets, then you're able to use that stuff in your body properly. So those who don't have gallbladders or have a problem with their bile flow, you can get much help by adding lecithin granules, that's spelled L-E-C-I-T-H-I-N, granules, or lecithin capsules if you want to get smaller ones to start with, to just add them to the food that you eat to help into break up the drops of oil into tinier droplets. You can also add papaya chunks, chewable tablets of papaya, pineapple chunks or pineapple pieces, or even pineapple juice. And they all help to digest food much, much better too.